Harper Collins and Harper Audio present Dr. B, a novel by Daniel Birnbaum. Translated from Swedish by Deborah Bragan Turner. Performed by John Lee. Cut off the supply of iron, and you will force Hitler to capitulate. Fritz Thyssen, Paris, 1939. Prologue. Emmanuel's face showed no sign of blushing. It would have been superfluous anyway, for the shame he bore ran deeper than that. He stood with his back to the corridor wall and felt the chill of the plaster against his head. The light of a bulb hanging from the blistered ceiling fell on his colourless face. So this would be where it ended. He would have liked to withdraw, and yet he remained in the brightly lit corner, right by the turn in the east corridor, on the first floor of Kronenberg prison. From here, one had a view in both directions. He noticed immediately when the guards brought a new arrival to the cell, or wheeled along the clattering soup trolley. Moreover, it was here the detainees could meet briefly on their way to the linen closet, where they had to leave their bedding at daybreak and collect it at nightfall. Why they let him stay here, he didn't know. The guards came and went, passing him as if he were invisible. Yet it was right here in the corner that the publisher caught sight of him. It was obvious he recognized Emmanuel instantly as he came walking down the corridor, holding his sheets. In the light from the bulb, Emmanuel saw the publisher look at him coldly, at the man who had been the recently appointed editor, the journalist with the byline Dr. B, the new member of staff who had quickly become known by all as Emmanuel. The publishing house lawyer cautioned strongly against all contact with him now. He had offended in a way that could only be viewed as unforgivable for a Jewish immigrant. The lawyer had apparently emphasized just how unforgivable. He had asked for help in making contact with his wife and family. Concern for them had overcome the stranglehold of shame that seemed to render him powerless. His family were living in complete limbo, a situation that must have been unbearable for his wife. His own anxiety kept him awake at night. Gottfried Beermann Fischer did not even pause, nor did he turn when Emmanuel addressed him.
Gottfried, listen to me.
No. What he was guilty of was patently impossible to forgive. And what would happen to them now, to his family and the publishers? Avoiding deportation looked hopeless. Stockholm had rescued them. They had managed this far. But what was left now? The world was divided. There were places where Jews couldn't live, and there were places they couldn't enter. Emmanuel saw the publisher's back disappear into the gloom of the corridor in the direction of the linen closet. It was too dark in the cell to study the report and all its long-winded appendices, but he had read them so many times that certain of the passages had lodged in his mind. Some of the sections he could recite verbatim. The letter, around which it all revolved, had been transcribed and translated, including the invisible lines. Now the thick sheaf of papers lay on the cold floor beside the bunk. From time to time he groped for one of the pages, held it up to his eyes, and, with a struggle, managed to decipher it. After the search of the house, typescript from the vile family's typewriter had been analysed by a tireless gentleman from the Secret Service, the same tall, thin inspector who conducted the interrogations. Emmanuel made it out, letter by letter. This specimen was typed on a Rheinmetall machine. The serial number of the machine is 161732. It is reportedly the property of Weil. This machine is quite distinctive in that, inter alia, it lacks the letter A with a ring on top. It is reasonable to assume that the person in custody used such a machine, since I have noted that in certain correspondence he added rings above the letters by hand, including, in some cases, on the wrong letters. Of course, the Jewish family Weil say they did not lend anyone their machines, but that information cannot be trusted. In addition, it would be useful if it did prove to be the machine on which the letters were typed, for then we could have a crack at the vials as well.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?